Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And welcome to Why Are You Like This, a podcast devoted to finding out who we are and why we do the things we do. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews, and I am delighted to invite you all to my first threesome. Today's guests and I are about to defy some gravity. You know them as the Sentimental Men. Please welcome to the mic Quincy Brown and Kevin Bianchi.
Hey!
Woo! Defying gravity in a threesome. I love that.
Just, you know, start out the gate real quick, real fast.
The gate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're all friends here.
We're all
right. Ryan, hi. I'm so excited to be on this podcast.
Oh my gosh, the feeling is mutual. I am so glad that we were able to find time to give this thing a little whirl and chit chat and talk about life.
Yeah. We were telling you before we started recording, but Kevin and I were just texting and saying how excited we are to do this podcast because we have been binging it all week. It's just so interesting.
Thank you. I binged your podcast as I decided to try this thing called shopping in person again. And God bless y'all for keeping me sane because I went in looking for a suit and I left with a tank top after like 6 hours. But
it's the natural progression of things.
Yeah. But it was your words that kept me going, which I really appreciate. I love
that. I'm glad we could lead you to a tank top. Yeah.
Yeah. it was a journey. I was like, you know what, I'll go try vintage shopping and see, because I want like, you know, like Harry Styles vibes.
Oh, yeah.
For this wedding that I'm going to.
Yeah
And what I found is what is being sold as vintage these days is like your dad's 90s like vinyl jacket.
Oh sure
Mm-hmm. So, are you typically an online shopper? You said you were trying shopping in person.
I am now. I mean, over the pandemic, I definitely, you know, felt joy by spending my money on things that I don't need.
Sure.
But ultimately, yeah, I think it's just better for my psyche to order it, try it on in my own room, and then send it back as a ex-Husky jeans kid.
Yeah. See, but that's kind of why I prefer shopping in person, because I feel like online I get so anxious about the sizing of it all. I'd rather just like see it in person.
ASOS and I are in a torrid relationship. So babes, how did y'all meet? Tell us your story.
Well, you must understand it was a long time ago. So Quincy and I met, I think 2019, 17 is what we decided, right?
I think
17 or 18.
Maybe 17, yeah.
Yeah, because I worked at Roundabout Theater Company, and Quincy was...
That's the first time we've said that publicly.
Oh my gosh,
exclusive.
You heard it here first, yeah. but yeah, so I worked there already, and then Quincy was interviewing for a summer internship. And I was interviewing him, and at the very end of every interview, I always ask like, what's your favorite musical? Just as like a fun end of the interview icebreaker. And Quincy said Wicked.
Which I prefaced with like, I promise I know theater, but my favorite musical is Wicked.
Yeah, and so, but of course, then that was it. You know, that was like the music started playing. You know,
and then you asked who my favorite Elphaba was.
Yeah,
and I said, "It's hard. That's a hard question to ask.
It's an intimate question in an interview.
Yeah,
on the spot. Yeah,
we jumped in.
So I panicked and I was like, Willemijn Verkijk, because that will make me sound intelligent and cultured. It's not like a standard, you know, one. It's, and it's someone who's done it in three languages, whatever, whatever. And then there was a photo of Stephanie J. Block in The Mystery of Edwin Drood on like the wall of the room that we were interviewing in. And I asked Kevin back, and Kevin like gestured to SJB, and I freaked out because I was like, I cannot believe I just said that someone was my favorite over Stephanie J. Block.
It's like you already said that Wicked is your favorite musical, and then you're like, you know what? I have to be indie on my choice of album.
Yeah.
I bet you got a lot of strange answers to the what's your favorite musical question through interviewing.
Oh, that's interesting.
I did get a lot of interesting questions to that. And something I started getting a lot in my most recent job, where I also was interviewing summer apprentices, is how many answers are like specifically like this community theater production I saw of whatever, like it, and it's crazy, like realizing that like so many people's like big magical moment with theater is like Broadway, but then there's like equally amount of people who are like, it was my English teacher doing Hello Dolly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like a great question to ask.
Did y'all grow up in the city or no?
No, I grew up in New Jersey. So I grew up.
Okay. Adjacent.
Adjacent. Yeah.
And I grew up in Hawaii. So very far.
Very far.
From the city here.
I grew up in Oregon. So you beat me. You were from Hawaii. Oh, nice.
Okay. But I have a ton of, I feel like everyone from Hawaii typically ends up in like Oregon, California, Washington.
Oh my God.
So I have a
yeah.
ton of friends in on the West Coast.
Yeah. My sister went to Pacific University. And when I went to her graduation, I was like, wait, is half the school Hawaiian? And she was like, yeah, it is. Yeah. I was like,
I'm gonna say, like, okay, great. Three of my best friends went to Pacific.
I will say I have not found good Hawaiian food in New York City, and it makes me sad.
Okay, so there's this place called Makana Barbecue, which is up by where Kevin lives, right?
Yeah, it's literally on my block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's pretty decent. I recently went to Norita in Hell's Kitchen, okay, and that was bad. Okay. Is that mean to say?
Well,
it was just like everything was overpriced, and it wasn't like authentic.
Yeah, someone needs to tell them. They need to learn.
Yeah, I would say Makana is like what the closest thing I've found up here so far.
Fierce. God bless. So why Wicked for y'all? Besides the fact that like Wicked is lovely and wonderful and so formative in so many queer people's lives.
Yeah.
Why do you think it was the one that you decided to like hone in on?
That's an interesting question, because I feel like when other people answer this question, they zero in on like, oh, the themes of feeling like an outsider, and I could relate to that as a queer person or as a person of color or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember consciously having that realization. I'm sure subconsciously that was there. But like, I think I discovered Wicked because I was obsessed with Rent in middle school, and obviously Adina was in Rent, and then Adina did Wicked. But then one day in my like intermediate school musical theater class, we did this exercise where you had to perform a musical theater song as like a spoken word monologue, like that classic exercise.
Tried and true, tried and true.
And someone did theirs of Defying Gravity. Oh, but we didn't have to do the lyrics. We had to like write a monologue based off of a musical theater song.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember I did
this
Who Am I.
This is very multidimensional. You did Who Am I? Something nice and light for middle school.
Oh, God.
And I still ended it. I ended it with like a Who Am I? 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. Like,
get out of here.
Yes.
No.
But no. Some girl in my class did theirs to like Defying Gravity. And I remember thinking, because she started talking about like animal rights and all this stuff. And I remember being like, what is this show? It sounds so heavy. And then actually like looking up to Defying Gravity and being like, lo and behold. But yeah, that was it. And then I bought Defying Gravity on iTunes, mm-hmm. and was obsessed with it, and then bought the rest of the cast recording. And I vividly remember looking up the script online and like reading the script and then playing the song in order.
Cute.
Aww.
But I hate to say this because I feel like it takes away from the gravity of it all, but I really think it was the belting that did it for me.
No, I mean, yeah, I get it. Yeah. As Rent was also my like gateway to musical theater.
Yeah.
Specifically the Rent movie. And then I
Me too.
Made it like my personality as if like mm-hmm. that had been there my whole life.
We all did.
Yeah, it's we very strange did. When you think about it. So yeah, I mean, we were just looking for something that sounded like what we enjoyed from Rent. Like, it's not like my first musical was My Fair Lady and sure. then the music from Rent was like radical and crazy to me. Mm, I had yeah. like the opposite effect when I went to school, where they would be like, okay, and this is Hello Dolly, and I'm like, tell me about that, that sounds mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah
I learned about the Golden Age stuff in college.
Same. Now kids learn about Wicked like old Golden Age.
Yeah, truly.
Stop.
Kevin, why Wicked?
Well, it's interesting because I had very much the opposite experience, because I did love Rent, but my like gateway into Wicked was through The Wizard of Oz, because The Wizard of Oz has been my favorite movie my whole life. Like, it was I'm sure I watched other movies before The Wizard of Oz, but it's like the first movie that I have a conscious memory of watching for the first time. And so for me, usually like for like my birthday or Christmas, I would get like a couple of cast recordings, because I was, you know, a young gay theater kid, and that's what you get them.
Not to out you, but you're gay.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah. To disclose.
What?
Yeah, sorry, Quincy.
Quincy's out. Quincy's like, I'm done. Not doing this anymore.
So for my birthday, I get, or Christmas in, I guess, 2003, I would have gotten the Wicked cast recording, and at that point it was
I got it fresh
Christmas morning 2003, footsie pajamas, like living my Glinda life, you know it, day one, baby. But at that point I remember like thinking of it as like, oh, it's this musical related to The Wizard of Oz with the woman from Rent, like.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like same process as you, but from the other side of things, I think.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. I mean, I guess what kept me, like what made me hone in on it probably was, I think, just that like the bootleg culture, but not in the way of like, well, yes, in the way of like we all gagged for it, but like I remember always like loving that I could like with Rent 2 watch like several different performances and compare them, and mm-hmm. I like loved that about Wicked because it became that so quickly, whereas like Rent had been going for 10-12 years, and at that point we had like 10 videos to watch, you know what I mean, whereas like 2 years into Wicked I could like composite the whole show together. So I think it was like accessibility, and also just like I said, that kind of like ability to be comparative with it.
No, I will say that like fresh. It feels like Wicked and YouTube were like really connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially being in Oregon, it wasn't like I was like seeing Broadway. I was either hearing it from a cast album I got at the library, or YouTube had done its rollout and I could finally see like 6 different versions of Defying Gravity, or you know, like it feels like that first musical that really had that going, where it would be like, yeah, but did you see this person or did you see that person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To this day. And that's why I feel like the bootlegs of it all is like, I think the bootleg culture has like significantly helped Wicked maintain its run. I'm sure it would still be running today without bootlegs, but like I think it's contributed greatly to the fan culture. And like I work at a Broadway. What?
No, you go ahead. I want to come back to that though.
Okay. Because I work at a Broadway ad agency now, and like part of my responsibility is like reporting all the bootlegs of the shows that we work on and getting them taken down, which is so like sad for me. Like I've become the monster. But like,
you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain, Quincy.
Ooh, that's the poll quote.
But it's like sad because I really think, I don't think people are like, oh, I saw this shitty bootleg of Shoshana Bean seeing Defying Gravity, I don't need to see Wicked now. You know, I think it only makes you want to see the show more.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so that was brought us back excellently to what I wanted to say, which is that I would even take it to the a step further to like Wicked and YouTube created fan culture. Because prior to that, it was like if you liked Aida, you liked Aida, you know what I mean? Like you didn't have a favorite Aida because you didn't have
what about like
anything
the
but Heather Headley to go. But even the Renheads, it's like how until YouTube, how was that easily accessible? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you like had to be in the city.
You had to be there, or you had to like be emailing files to people or sending, I don't know, you know what I mean? And so like Wicked comes along and all of a sudden it's like, here's the show you love and here's all of these different actresses that you can love doing it. And then like that's when we all kind of were like, oh yeah, like this is my favorite actress, this is my favorite Elphaba, this is my favorite Fiero. As a, like we could have specificity in what we liked about the show.
I've never once said who my favorite Fiero is because I honestly forget about the men in the musical, but they are there. Sure, and I like the pants. Sure. Well, and I was listening to your show, and Julia Murney wrapped it up so succinctly in a way that I had never thought of it before, where she was like, look, like, don't be an asshole if I can see you, you're being rude, and like, don't put up shitty ones of me. Yeah, but my career is bootlegs. Yeah, and the way that she like broke it down, I was like, oh shit.
Which it's like, when we talk about like the golden age of Elphabas and everything, but it's like the only reason we're able to talk about that golden age of Elphabas is because of all the bootlegs that are around, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My first Elphaba was Shoshana Bean.
Oh, on tour. That's a great first.
On tour?
It was her and Megan.
Wait, that's crazy.
That's a great show.
There's a photo of me with them and I like wore glasses to like go to the theater. I've never actually like needed glasses.
What?
But it was
you're
so
like, but we're seeing Wicked, I'm gonna put glasses on.
I'm putting them on. And Shoshana grew up, spent a large chunk of her time in the town next to me.
Oh, cute.
Years before me, but my high school voice teacher was very like, well, I gave her voice lessons, and I was like, I don't know how long you can claim that.
Yeah. That feels like a stretch.
That feels crazy.
Pretty sure you did not teach her that.
Quincy, how many Wicked things do you have to take down from Pornhub? Because I bet it's a lot.
Luckily, I don't work on Wicked. Like, I really think I would have a hard time if one of our shows was Wicked, because I couldn't take those bootlegs down. But I was just thinking recently, I was like, has Wicked kind of, there has to be some sort of rule of thumb at Wicked as to like what can stay up and what needs to come down. Because some stuff gets to stay up forever and some stuff gets taken down like the next week, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would love to like talk to someone on the marketing team of Wicked.
It feels like we're at this interesting time with what can and cannot be filmed, with the way that we're integrating TikTok into stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, so that's funny. I just came from... So one of the shows we work on is Waitress, and the reason why we pushed this interview is because we just like did this backstage live stream and then streamed the opening number of Waitress from like the house.
Oh, cool.
And so many people were tweeting like, I can't believe the accessibility. This is so crazy. This is groundbreaking. Like people who can't afford to go or people who aren't comfortable going to the theater yet are finally getting the opportunity to like see the show. So I do think that like, we're kind of entering new territory where this is starting to be like Lion King just streamed their opening number. It feels like we're shifting into like new territory.
Mm-hmm. It feels like we're doing it in a way where the people who are creating it can have control. as yeah. opposed to like someone who has a handy cam in the back.
Agree, because it's like it's gonna be bootleg yeah, yeah, yeah. no matter what. Yeah, might as well put it out in a good way, you know.
Yeah, which I think is nice.
Could I think cool. so. It was fun.
Well, as Broadway is reopening, I know that y'all were busy last week seeing stuff. How does it feel? How do you feel?
Tired.
Yeah. Well,
you're like sleepy. I don't want.
Yeah, I mean, Quincy definitely had it worse last week because I just went to Wicked twice for pure enjoyment, but Quincy was working all week at every show, so I feel great. But
Kevin and I were talking about, and like other people in this industry I've been talking to, and it's like it's such a crazy stressful time, and it kind of feels like no one has any idea, like we all just forgot how to like operate. Mm-hmm. But it's also like such a good stress that you can't even complain, you know. Like I've probably never worked harder in my life, but it's so fun that it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah
And that is when you know that you found the right job.
Ish. Sure
ish yeah. for now, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
I accidentally saw Broadway last night. And
wait, I saw that. What was that all about?
Yeah.
I got a text at 7:30 for an 8 o'clock curtain that said, "Hey, I can't go to 6 anymore. Do you want my ticket?"
And out I was out the door already.
Out the door. I fully was like sitting. I live in Harlem. I live off the 125th stop. And I was like, nice. I turned to my roommates. I'm like, I can do that. And they're like, you can now. And I sprint, like, thank God I have worked out over pandemic, because I sprinted. I pushed people. I like got to the theater. I sat down with my playbill and I was like, oh, yeah, New York is back. Like, it was very like, I'm angry. I'm sweaty. I'm sitting at a theater and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
No, literally was. Just disheveled as the show's starting.
Oh, my God.
Nothing better.
Nothing
six
better.
Crazy though. I feel like they're all practicing their like runs and riffs during the shutdown.
I hadn't seen it either. I mean, it was gotcha. Open for like what, 5 seconds, and then we shut down. So I was just like, oh, I'm gonna have a good time because no matter what, it's women singing really high, and yeah, that's something I enjoy.
That's all the gays need.
It's all I needed. But the poor people next to me, they were just, I was like, hi. I am a musical theater performer. I have not been back to a show. I will be a mess. And I was. But yeah, it was great.
That's a great really first good. Show back.
Right?
I know. I want to go so bad.
Well, boys, I think it's time.
Oh, no.
That we ask the question of the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Why are you like this?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And if anyone wants to go first...
Kevin, go,
go
first,
for
please.
It.
Why am I like, what?
Why are you working in theater? Why do you love women singing high?
Sure,
why,
sure.
As a young gay boy, was it Wizard of Oz for you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you even want to talk to me on this podcast? Like, you can answer it however
yeah,
you want.
Yeah. I think starting with the Wizard of Oz, I was smitten with musical theater, and I think I was very fortunate to be in a situation where that was encouraged by a parent, and so I kind of just like grew up with musical theater, and I think that as a person, I'm super... structured about the way I like interpret creativity and things, and so I think constant love for musical theater and a need to understand the structure of everything has brought me to this wicked podcast where I debate with Quincy over the very foundation of musical theater,
which is wicked. It started with Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that's very fun. I think we need people who are structured in our lives as a person who is not. Yeah. Quincy, what's up with you?
Because you know this question is coming. But it's still like... I think in general, I'm a very, very like insecure person. But... Oh. I think the one thing that I've always been pretty like confident in is like my like understanding of musical theater and my passion for musical theater. Like, for whatever reason, that's one thing that I feel very like good about. So even like launching this Wicked podcast was something that like took a lot of therapy, because I was like, it's pretty, it could be seen to some as like pretty cringy to start a podcast where you just like geek out over this musical, you know? And like, I was like, people are going to talk shit about it. This is going to be so bad, blah, blah, blah. But actually doing it, I think, has been this really great experience, because it's kind of like helped me, I think, grow into like some sort of confidence that I didn't have before. Kevin's looking at me like I'm...
It's just
no,
nice.
It's just very nice.
I love to hear this about you.
That's just very nice.
It's like nice to hear about my friend like being happy.
Or it's like finally doing it, and then like I'm sure people are like whispering behind our backs, but only hearing positive things, I think, has been like this really great affirming moment for me, where I'm like, okay, you can just like be happy doing the thing that makes you happy, and then that's it.
Yeah.
100%.
Quincy, I host a podcast called Why Are You Like This? I don't even have like a like thesis. I don't, you know, like.
But it's so cool, because I feel like you get like, leaving it so broad but so specific also, like you get like such nuggets from people that they wouldn't necessarily offer up in any other circumstance. It's been so interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. No, I think it's fun. I think what you said is pretty universal about having something that you know a lot about that makes you feel confident and can help you deal with other spots in your life where you might not feel as confident. I think that's a pretty universal feeling. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, like, life is weird, and if you find something that you really like, do it, and kind of fuck whatever else happens, you know?
Quincy, you said something about like like just being happy doing what you like doing. And it's so, I literally was thinking, I mean, I will admit, I was like thinking about this in case it came up on this podcast that we're currently recording. But I was thinking that it's like, we have accomplished quite a bit with this podcast. Like just the two of us doing it, like ad hoc, like, you know, by ourselves.
Have day jobs.
And it's just, but, and I think like people are always like, oh, like how did you get Stephanie J. Block on your podcast? And it's like, literally we posted a video of us being like absolute faggots with each other. And she was like, these people seem fun. Like I'll do this.
Just like a lot of people, I literally this evening, I was like, because I had to ditch from Waitress and I was like, I'm running to do this podcast. And then my coworker was like, do you guys have like 100,000 subscribers? Like, I feel like I'm seeing your podcast everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. And I was like, how are you doing it? Like, what is the sauce? And I was like, literally, we're just
it's
like
just us. Like, we're just
We're just talking and like sharing it and like somehow tapped into this like. Another thing is like I think Wicked has such like a dedicated fan base, so I think
we picked a good show.
Like we were able to tap into it, but it's like that's been the craziest thing is seeing like how many other people out there are like us and are into what we're doing. And like I was so nervous that like we're gonna get hate comments or trolled or people are gonna say mean things, but like truly haven't seen any of that, which is so crazy to me.
And like I mean, even if they come, like whatever, like you have that feeling right now. So if and when it comes around the bend, so many more people find this beneficial. And even if they didn't, y'all got to talk to some people that you've wanted to talk to your whole life.
Correct.
That's the thing. It's like we're fulfilling our own like childhood dreams that it doesn't even matter the outside stuff that happens, you know?
No, fuck that. Yeah. Fuck the rest of that shit. No, I had a similar moment. I had put out a tweet about people bitching about spending $20 to watch a movie at their house when they are totally fine, asking me to see them sing in a basement for $20 and a 2-drink minimum and sing Lost in the Wilderness, a false step down. Yeah. which Leslie Kritzer saw, who I adore. And so like that's how I got her on the podcast. Like there's just no like
there's no rhyme or reason.
There's
just
no
like,
rhyme or reason.
And and there's no rules.
Like Ryan, we have a guest coming up that is like potentially coming up that is like such a curveball and truly happened just because like good energy was out there. But like the fact that that is even a thing, you know, is just like, wait, what are, who are we? Kevin says this all the time. He's like, who are we? Like, what
who
are we doing?
Who the fuck are we? Yeah.
Just people who are interested and people who, I think what I have learned with just having this podcast is, especially in the time that I created it, we all have been really, really missing stories and personal stories and storytelling in a way that feels visceral and human, and why a lot of us go to the theater. And so hearing creatives talk about why they are the way they are, or talk about just like, hey, Stephanie J. Block sang into my answering machine and that's how I learned Defying Gravity. Like we miss those moments. And so I think you guys have definitely made something very special. And I think that should make you feel not insecure as you walk through your life, because I think it's a gift.
Thank you. Cool.
Thank you.
Did you start your pod over pandemic too?
Yeah. I had briefly had a podcast. And by briefly, I mean literally 3 episodes.
Sure.
Because it's hard. It is
a
lot of
work.
It's a
capsule season.
Yeah, it's a capsule season.
So much more work than I ever thought it would be, to be honest.
It's a limited series. that was called Better Than Boys. And it was me and my friend Chloe Day would interview people we thought were interesting and ask them what was better than a boy. And I loved it. I mean, I truly love talking to people, but it was just a lot of work, and so it fell apart. So then during pandemic, I was literally writing something like a stupid sketch about someone who had a podcast called Why Are You Like This? And I was like, that sounds so dumb. And then and here we are. So yeah.
Is doing it alone, because I'm like, I could not do this if I didn't have Kevin. I think it's just so much work.
I don't have a day job, so
gotcha. Still, it's like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But It's been a lot of cool things. I mean, I know how to do audio editing now. I now help produce other people's podcasts. Like, everything's kind of leads to each other. Oh, I should say this on the pod. So I was listening to your Stephanie J. Block podcast episode, and I realized that I was her.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
Because we look and sound exactly the same.
Well, besides the obvious.
No, it was when she was talking about how she went to New York and then went home because she found that she was just auditioning in rooms in a way that was like, pick me, choose me, love me, I'll do whatever. And she went home to kind of find herself and center herself. And then everything kind of like came around to her in a universe kind of way. And I, coincidentally enough, had done that in 2019. Take myself out of the equation, move back, ready for my Stephanie J. Block moment, which is still around the bend. But I was like, oh my God, I'm not the only person who did that. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's important, even in like not in a musical theater context. Like, I was living here for a year and then pandemic. I flew home for 2 weeks during the pandemic and ended up staying for 9 months. And I feel like that kind of operated as a reset where it's like when I came back here, I felt like a very different person, and in a lot of ways this new era feels like my like actual living here era where I'm not necessarily trying to like, I'm just trying to like be happy, you know, where it's like before I think I was trying to like be really good at my job and like have a lot of friends and do all this stuff, and now it's like I just want to be content.
And I was very like, there's just like this pressure put on yourself for whatever when you're in musical theater about like you have to move to New York or like what is the point. And that's why I moved here originally, and then I didn't really get to sink into like, do I like it here, am I having a good time, until some stuff sent me out and I got to be in a different space and reassess and be like, no, I do like it there. And it truly has changed my life and changed my world just being here with like a different sense of purpose. I feel like that happens to so many people.
Well, it's hard when you like Broadway so much. You need to like be able to separate the city from Broadway, which is like very difficult, I think. What are you gonna say, Kevin?
No, I was just going to agree that I feel that I didn't geographically go anywhere during the pandemic, but Quincy, as you know, I was like in a job search for like the first 7 months of this year. I was employed but looking for a new job, and like it like nothing was sticking, and I like had this chunk of time where I was away from, oh, I guess I did go somewhere, I was away from my home for work over the summer, and I was like just by myself with no one I knew, and I like had nothing but time to like self-evaluate. And then like I just had this like week where all of a sudden like I knew exactly what job I was looking for. Six jobs that fit that description came, you know, into my realm. Four of those jobs wanted to interview me, and you know what I mean? And it's like it all just fell into place. And I totally agree with you. It's just like you need that moment to like wipe everything off and just be like, okay, like this is what's here at the bottom of all of it.
What do I actually want?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, what do I want to post on Instagram today?
Right.
What do I want? You know, like.
And then that changes what you want to post on Instagram. It's like, I feel like even. It's so shallow, but I feel like even my social media usage has like, I was doing this dumb thing, like end of college, post college, where I could only use one word captions. Kevin remembers this.
Remember this.
And I look back at it now. I'm like, that was unhinged and just like stupid. Who did I think I was? You know?
Yeah. Listen, we love a theme.
We love themes. You know?
But also too, because Ryan, I know from listening, you are about to turn 30 or recently turned 30.
I am 30. I am 30 now.
Yes. So I feel like
Kevin's rapidly approaching.
I'm approaching 30. But I also do feel like Quincy, I can't wait for you to go through your 29th year, because like approaching a new decade is like a wildly hot fire under your ass to like figure your shit out, like to figure your like yourself out. So I feel like I was definitely like pushed along a little bit by that.
It's also like also, a though, strange. I feel like, oh, go ahead. It's all like the, I think the nines, like across, like 19, 29, yes. 39, they're all weird because all people will talk to you about is the fact that you're turning mm-hmm. a new decade. Mm-hmm. So like 29 made me feel ancient. 30 makes me feel like so young and fresh. It's crazy.
30, 30 and thriving, baby.
Ready to go. And I mean, look at the skin. Nobody thinks I'm 30. Like, but it is crazy. You're like, oh yeah, I'm 29. They're like, well, here it comes.
Here comes 30. Yeah. Yeah.
No, when I was younger, I thought I had to be like married, living with a partner, owning a dog by 25. You know, like that's what, that was my plan.
I mean, yeah. At least you had a partner. I was very like, I will get married, have children, get divorced, and then I can be gay vibes. Like,
oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And not in like any sort of like, parents telling me to do that or anything, just like truly I was like,
yeah,
I guess I can do this like after.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Into like your post high school years.
Yeah, well, so I didn't come out until I was 19, so mm-hmm. I didn't gotcha. I was a very typical theater student. I got to school straight and I was gay by May.
Mm-hmm.
Gay by May.
But now now it's just funny to think about because like being gay and being in the queer community is one of my favorite things about me. So like, yeah,
I
think it's just funny. Like as we were talking about, it's like, oh yeah, originally my plan was to like get married to a poor woman, yeah. have a child with her, leave her, and then like have a kid between us. I wanted to do falsettos as my life.
That was your roadmap.
Yeah, that was like my goal.
We're aiming for falsettos.
Jesus.
We will
plug.
Settle for boys in the band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Oh Lord.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember having that conversation with myself, my junior year of high school, like with the last girlfriend that I had. I remember like thinking one day, I was like, okay, if I can like sit this out for another year and then we go away to college, then that'll be like 5 years that I like don't have to address the gay thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and like through no outside anything, like that was literally just me.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Well, I mean, I was like, I was raised Mormon, so I feel like that was like over my head.
Sure.
But that is very different. I had a girlfriend my senior year of high school, and we went to senior prom together. And I just remember being so annoyed with her the entire night. She did nothing. It was all me and like dealing with my sexuality and everything. Broke up with her after prom was done, and then went to an after party and kissed a boy for the first time.
That's incredible. I mean,
come on, it's raining on prom night. Incredible.
Oh Lord, Quincy, I grew up around so many Mormons.
Oh really?
Yeah, Oregon, like, you know, like Midwest people are like Catholics are everywhere. Oregon, it's just like all Mormons. So
I feel
like,
the same way about Hawaii.
Well, There's BYU so Hawaii is very important.
Sure.
Yeah. It was wild. But yeah, I was like in full public school and like Mormon students would leave in the middle of the day to go to seminary vibes.
Yeah, that was for like in high school, my mom would, we'd wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to go to seminary before school. And I think back on it and I'm like, mom, why would you even like want to do that as a person? Like, what? And she'd just sit in the car and wait for us to get out of Sunday school and then drive us to high school.
That doesn't sound fun at all to me. At all.
And it's not everyone in the Sunday school. It's like 5 a.m. Everyone's like falling asleep in their chair. It's so crazy.
Think of all of the times tables you could have kept in your brain if you just got an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
Truly.
Well, babes, as we wind down the podcast, I ask this of all my guests, and I guess this goes to both of you. Do you have any questions for me?
Double whammy.
Bam, bam.
Well, I do is what's your favorite musical?
Oh, my favorite musical.
And why? That was the other part.
I know. I am like sweating. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm really good at typing. I'm very organized.
Applying for a job.
I just love being in a new work environment every day. Yeah.
I thrive on toxicity.
I thrive on toxicity.
Multitasker.
I love to multitask. And I don't have any hours that I'm not off limits. So no. Like, text me.
My biggest weakness is saying no. Stop. I actually say that in interviews.
Oh my God. So my favorite musical of like most recent memory, mm-hmm. honest to God, is On Your Feet.
Wow.
Excellent answer.
I saw On Your Feet.
Hit me with the why, baby.
I saw On Your Feet 3 or 4 times.
Uh-huh.
I did not see Natasha Pierre that season. I was too busy seeing On Your Feet.
I
loved it. I thought it was like, it was so exciting to watch. It was huge because that stage is like way too big for anything.
Yeah.
Where is that? The Marquee?
The Marquee, yeah.
Sure.
And then the way that they worked through, like, yeah, it's Gloria Estefan's story, but they like worked through like racism in the music industry and like all of these songs that you know because you've like walked through a CVS or like your mom has played it at a certain time and like really made it. Like they weren't easy to be made, and
sure.
There's like, I think about it all the time. Like at one point the guy who plays Emilio is like flirting with her and he's like, you should kiss me because it's my birthday, and she does and he starts laughing and she's like, why? And he goes, my birthday's in March, and like that will run in my head all day every day. Couldn't tell you why.
Wow.
But yeah, and I love a Megamix. It ends with a Megamix, and a small child gets up, and she's like living her damn dreams.
That really threw me for a loop.
That really did. I've heard a lot of answers to that question.
Maybe Into the Woods, Ragtime.
Kevin would have been like, he is not getting the job.
Nope.
Has no taste.
Put that in the no pile.
I also thought she died with the bus crash. I truly forgot that I know that Gloria Estefan's alive.
Like
I
currently on this earth.
Yeah, I fully was like, oh like, my God.
Literally produced this musical.
Like, why?
Oh my God.
On one of the nights, and then I'll stop talking about On Your Feet. On one of the nights that I saw
no,
On Your
don't.
Feet.
Don't. Start a podcast about On Your Feet.
So I had convinced my friend Sean Doherty to go with me to On Your Feet. I also won the lottery a lot because, again, the theater is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you were entering the lottery a lot.
Yes, because, again, favorite musical.
Yes.
I was like, look, you have to come with me. He's like, I don't really want to see it. I was like, it's the best thing I've ever seen. You have to come. And it happens to be on the same night that like a lot of the original cast of Hamilton was leaving.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. So they're on the same street.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, yeah.
It's wild madness outside because, I mean, people love Hamilton. Like, people are like drawing Lin-Manuel like on this giant piece of wood that they brought. It's like a street. Mm-hmm. The street is filled with people who aren't even seeing the show. They're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a monster. So I'm running through there asking if Idina Menzel is going on an If Then tonight.
Stop! Stop! I love that.
On my way to On Your Feet for my second or third time. I make myself laugh, but yeah.
That's so funny. No, that's really good. God. Oh my God. That would be a good TikTok if TikTok
that's
was
incredible.
Around.
Oh,
wow.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me.
The
first time I saw If Then, it was with Jackie Burns and not Idina.
Me too.
Wow.
On purpose.
Yeah, same.
Don't say that on
no,
record.
No. Because I knew Jackie was going on and I was like, oh, I want to see this. Like, I know I'll have other chances to see Idina.
Yeah. Sure. I had like a friend that was interning at Telsey and they were like, hey, you know who Jackie Burns is. She's going on. Let's go. Everyone is turning in their tickets because they only wanted to see this musical, see Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
I wish I saw Jen Colella go on. That is history.
The one, speaking of bootlegs.
That's a boot.
That's a boot.
Mm, so good.
Jen Colella, what a star.
My question for you, I'll also go on the theme of this internship interview, is who is your favorite Elphaba? Give us a top three.
Top three. I will say Stephanie J. Block, of course.
Sure.
I will say Jessica Vosk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will say Eden Espinoza.
Ooh.
That's a solid, very different top three.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. That really like runs the gamut, I feel like. Like you've got a very theater Elphaba, a very vocal artist Elphaba, and then like a very like
bombastic.
Thank you. That is an excellent word.
Bombastic is a great choice.
Yeah.
I think they all definitely left their mark on their show in like palpable ways. In different ways. And I don't know. It's just like if I look at like Stephanie or Jessica, I'm like, that would be in theory the Elphaba I could give. Like I can't just like go up and come up with new riffs and like be a fun riffy Elphaba, right?
Sure.
So
I think
so like
too.
That would be, I'd be like, oh, I can see that. And then Eden, I think just like her Elphaba had just like this youthful energy and vocal prowess that is exciting in a way that I can't do and can't touch. So like it makes me excited.
I remember back I remember back in the day, like Kevin. early bootlegs, I remember feeling like Eden was like my like emo girl Elphaba. Like she was like a she was like a slightly darker Elphaba, and I remember like really connecting with that. So I'm glad to hear that she's in your top three.
Yeah, she's like the pop punk Elphaba.
Yeah.
Pop punk Elphaba, I love that.
I do think the last Elphaba I saw in person was a woman named Maggie Rogers. She was a third standby. And like literally it was her debut and she did great. But I just remember, I mean, because I love Maggie Rogers.
Right.
Pop star,
that's kind of fun though. I love seeing the understudies that go on.
Yeah.
Understudy show.
It's exciting.
Was it Maggie or was it Emily?
Oh, maybe it's Emily. And I've
not to clock you on.
No, go for it. I don't care.
I also might be wrong. That just kind of like
no, Quincy. It was Maggie Rogers of the pop fame. She painted herself green that night.
Oh my god, that was a solid top three, though, right?
Thank you so much. I loved it. Well, this has been honestly delightful. I could talk to you both for hours and hours and hours.
I know.
Thank you for taking the time out of your evening. Thank you for running from waitress. leaving them behind with their TikTok. I bet they can't figure it out without you.
They're lost.
So where can the children find y'all?
So the children can find us on the internet. We are at...
New concept, the internet.
We are at SentMenPod across all of your favorite social platforms. And I believe that by the time your listeners are hearing this, we will be back with our new episodes for our super special, exciting Osmopolitan celebration of Wicked the Musical.
Oh my God, you're so good at
this. Nice.
So we've got a new episode coming out every Friday in October in celebration of Wicked Month and in celebration of our podcast's 1 year birthday.
Congrats on 1 year.
Crazy. I know. Thank you.
All right. Flew by. It just flies by, you know, time flies.
Time flies when the world is shut down.
Oh, God.
You're living through a global pandemic.
on that note, until next time, y'all. Bye.
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 Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.